Welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today we have Rick Solofsky of Solofsky Financial Group, and he's an author of Medicare Minefield, Shocking Facts to Help You Save Money and Get the Most from Medicare. And he's also the host of the Medicare Minefield radio show. Rick, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Welcome to you. How are you?
I am doing very well.
Awesome.
Because I have not yet reached that terrible, terrible age where the worst thing about aging, Medicare.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, it doesn't always have to do with 65. We'll talk about that later.
Well, yeah. But I mean, seriously, I think that scares more people more than almost anything about aging is the fear of having to deal with Medicare and understanding what the heck it is, the deadlines, the different sections of it, the supplements, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. TV doesn't do you any favors as well because they send those messages to you. I'm terrified of it.
It's very simple, and I tell this to people all the time. When they first call me, they say the same thing. I don't know what to do, and I am so confused. That word comes up a lot, and the first thing I share with them is, I have 90-year-old caregivers for their 60-year-old children. I say, if my 90-year-old people can get it, you're going to get it. So I put together a one little piece, you can call it like Medicare for Dummies, so to speak. And it really spells out what A is and what B is and what the guidelines are and what the ins and the outs are. And then after, I'm telling you, 5 minutes, they're an expert. I tell them, I say, you could actually sell this because you know more information in 5 minutes after speaking to me than your broker that you're going to use or whoever you use will know about Medicare.
Well, let's start off with the obvious first question, and that is, what the heck is Medicare? And how does it play into aging in the United States?
It's a great question because you have to go back to 63 when Lyndon Baines Johnson, he really was the poster child, so to speak, of Medicare. And people say, why LBJ? Why did Lyndon Baines Johnson do this? Why didn't Kennedy do it? Why didn't Eisenhower do it? And on some of my shows, I'm going to get to the point when I say to them, even Nikita Khrushchev has some signature on Medicare. And they go, well, how's that possible? Remember, back when Kennedy and Eisenhower were in their presidencies between the 50s and 60s, Khrushchev came into power, USSR. And they had what's called socialized medicine. And they were called the Socialist Republic of Russia. And basically what happened was, Kennedy and Eisenhower knew that they should have done Medicare back when they were in presidency, but it was too close to socialized medicine, and they didn't want to do anything to do anything that represents what happened with USSR and USA and the battles we were having, even way before the Cold War. So that's what happened. In 1963, LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, Act of Congress, if you Google Lyndon Baines Johnson, 1963, famous Medicare speech, you'll see his black rim glasses. He actually talked about more people now are spending more time in the hospitals with their doctors after the age of 65. But that's the problem. Back in 63, the average person, Carol, passed away when they were 70. Mm-hmm. So they had to use an age that was kind of like gives you, so to speak, 5 more years to live. And that's why they picked age 65. Now we have over 35 million Americans working to the age of 75 or 80. So there's been a paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. And you really have so many people that don't realize that Medicare made sense to be 65 back then, but now it doesn't because we have more competent 65, 70-year-old people in the workforce than we do millennials, unfortunately, sometimes.
Well, I'm going to ask you about, how continued employment affects Medicare. So we've got this, and it starts at 65. All right, I'm really afraid of it. When the commercials come on TV, I turn the dial. I'm so terrified of this thing. So anyway, when does somebody start to worry about Medicare?
Okay. And don't use the word worry.
I know.
See, that's what happens. It's so funny.
Yeah, well,
and you're a positive person.
But don't
be worried. First things first, we have an aging workforce. So the first question is, do you work for an employer and are you thinking of retiring? And this is the key. People are focused on age 65, but the magic number, and they'll hear on my talk show, the magic number is 20. And here's the key. if you're going to work full time for a couple more years beyond 65, then if you have less 19 or less, then you have to apply for Medicare. You have to apply for Medicare if you're going to keep working if you're 19 or less employees. This is called Medicare secondary payer. When is Medicare primary? When is it secondary? So 19 or less, Medicare's primary, you have to enroll. We'll talk about why later. 20 or more, you don't. And this is the issue. I have a company that I knew. I met the owner the other day, 1,000 employees. He has 300 employees that applied for Medicare over way over 20, and they shouldn't have. So people are applying for Medicare when they shouldn't. So the key is how many employees work and how old are you?
Okay, now you've already confused me, because I thought that you absolutely, if you don't apply for Medicare at
65,
you're penalized. I don't care about my employer.
A later enrollment penalty.
If you're listening. Yeah. I love you. Love my employer, which has far more than 20 employees. But so I...
A late enrollment penalty, it's what it's called. So keep in mind, Laura, 19 or less, you have to apply for Medicare or you will get that late enrollment penalty, which is 10%. The rest of your life when you do eventually sign up. So you have to be very, very careful. You'll get a 10% penalty for not applying for Medicare. If you have 20 employees or more, you do not have to apply for Medicare. So let's give you a situation. You have a company that has 30 employees. It's part-time, full-time, union, doesn't matter. 30 employees. We know that's bigger than 20 mm-hmm. or more.
Yeah.
And you don't apply for Medicare, and now 3 years goes by, now you're 65 to 68. There's a special form that a broker should give you. It's called a form that proves credible coverage, which means if you get your employer to sign that you were on their group plan, remember, more than 20, that's how you avoid a penalty.
Okay, so let's talk about the guy who, or the woman who is, she's say 62 years old. We're going to start with someone who is 62 years old.
Okay.
And maybe works two or three jobs. Let's be real with today's economy. Mm-hmm. Maybe working an almost full-time job and then another job on the side, has no intention of retiring, cannot retire. At what point should she start thinking about, or he start thinking about, well, Medicare is coming up and I have to sign up for it? How do you use Medicare as part of a total health care plan for when you're getting older?
Okay, remember, people confuse Social Security or early Social Security, 62 and a half, mm-hmm. to Medicare. So the two are completely different items. It's not even apples and oranges. It's like fruit and meat. Okay.
All right. So she's 63.
She's 63.
Or 61.
That's okay. Yeah. 3 months prior. Here's really a rule of thumb. 3 months prior to your 65th birthday, in that person's situation, let's assume none of those companies have more than 20 employees. See, I'll always go to that, because even a Social Security office doesn't even ask you that question, which they should, which makes me mad as hell. And we'll talk about that later. And I can't take it anymore. What happens is that person 3 months prior, which is plenty of time, to her 65th birthday is when they should go online, medicare.gov, and apply for Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B. And then while they're waiting for their card to come, they want to reach out to an insurance agent, tell them that their Medicare is going to start August 1. Now we're talking about maybe it's like May or June. It gives everybody plenty of time to give that person their options. Do I want a Medigap policy, which we may have time to talk about today, or a Medicare Advantage plan? Because those two are out there that confuse people also. So the rule of thumb is you have plenty of time. You have up until 3 months prior to your 65th birthday, and even up to 3 months after your 65th birthday, to avoid that penalty that you were concerned about.
Now, we talked about, so you raised the question and the differences between Social Security and Medicare, and we didn't get into that. But like Social Security, if you don't use it, you don't use it, and it sits there, et cetera. Do you have that kind of an option with Medicare, or do you have to take it?
Okay. Great question. You do not have an option if it's what? 19 or less. And let me tell you what's going to happen. This happened to a very good friend of mine who told me his financial planner, you know, sometimes you have to back off. When people tell you they have someone that is competent and that knows what they're talking about and knows what they're doing, then they need you to back off. Well, this is what happened. A friend of mine calls me up and says, I don't know about this Medicare stuff. What do I have to do? And he's really in a fast lane. So here's what happened. He missed his Medicare open enrollment. He has only 14 employees that work where he works. And it's a very lucrative business. He's an employee of the corporation. So the company makes a couple million dollars a year, but he shows his minor salary. You know how that works. So anyway, what happens is you don't apply for Medicare when you should have. 19 or less. That's the key. He told me, it's okay. My health insurance, my group plan, that'll cover me. Don't worry about it. And here's what happened. I told him, why did you not tie that ribbon around your finger, so to speak? Because you should have called me, because now it's 3 months after his 65th birthday. He cannot enroll now. We'll talk to you about his options there. And now what happens is I told him, your medical insurance will only cover you. Get this. Insurance companies reserve the right to only pay 20% of a claim as if they applied for Medicare if you have less than 19 employees.
They're assuming that you have it. It's like tips to a waiter.
That's correct. I love that saying. That's correct. I'm going to use that. Anyway, I will tell you what happened was, he says, I'll believe it when I see it. So he went to his doctor's office a couple weeks later. And normally he had a $40 copay. He got a bill from the doctor for $280 and he didn't know why. I said, that's because that's what 80% of that doctor visit cost. He says, what happens if I go into the hospital for a surgery, God forbid cancer or a heart transplant or something that's really drastic, and it costs $2 million? You're going to be responsible for $1.5 million because you should have applied for 19 or less employees. And that's why my book, when we get to it, I tell millennials, pay attention. If your baby boomer parents are not in the right Medicare strategy and they have to pay $2 million because the health insurance company reserves that right not to pay the insurance, there goes your nest egg for your baby boomer, and there goes your millennial's inheritance. So it's very important that all ages pay attention to Medicare.
We're close enough to the halfway point for me to say you're listening to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me today, Rick Salofsky of Salofsky Financial Group. He is an author of Medicare Minefield, Shocking Facts to Help You Save Money and Get the Most from Medicare. And he's the host of the Medicare Minefield radio show, which is also heard on Beasley. If you would like more information from Rick, you can always go to his website, SalofskyFG.com. That's SalofskyFG.com, or he has a website, MedicareDecoded.live, or you can pick up his book, Medicare Decoded, at Amazon, or where you buy your books online. Medicare Decoded. Always remember, Medicare.org is a valuable resource for anyone, and so is the Social Security website. And if you do not have a My Social Security account of your own, you are a bad, bad person, because it's a great portal to help you replace those Medicare cards and Social Security cards and get information, et cetera. But now let's get into this, because you've mentioned these parts. And all right, so I know I have to. So I now know, 3 months before my 65th birthday, or within 3 months after, I have got to sign up, or I'm going to be penalized, not just in higher premiums for Medicare, but also I can get totally spanked by my insurance company if I get sick.
In 19 or less. Less employees.
If I work for a company with 19 or less employees. If I'm not working, this doesn't apply. And if there are more than 20, if there's more than 20 again. Okay, so now let's go back to, what is Medicare to Joe Schmo or Jane Doe, and what are the different parts?
Okay, good question. Medicare Part A, we'll do this real quickly and it's real simple. Medicare Part A covers the hospital bed and the hospital room only. Sometimes medications, but that's a little convoluted. Let's focus on the main reason for Part A. If you work 10 years of your life or 40 quarters, paying Medicare taxes, you know how FICA and Social Security comes out of your paycheck, you are also paying a couple dollars out of your paycheck towards Medicare Part A. That's an entitlement. So as long as you or your spouse. Maybe you didn't work, but you're married now, and your spouse worked 40 quarters or 10 years of your life, you're entitled to Medicare Part A as an apple. Medicare Part A, just to round it off, has a $1,450 deductible. It's close to $1,500 now. And what happens is that deductible is picked up by your Medicare supplement. We'll get into that in a second. So what does Part B do? Part B, and by the way, there's no cost to A. What is Part B doing? Is there a cost to that? That's where you have to apply when you have 19 or less employees or you're now retired and you're not working for anybody. You want to go to Medicare.gov and apply for Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B. Sometimes you'll have the card get mailed to you before your 65th birthday. That's a sign, by the way, people should pay attention to. If you get your Medicare card, it's usually only going to say A on it because you're entitled to it. So now you apply for B. Right now, Part B costs $144.60 per month. That's for Part B, as in boy. Now, what that covers is everything else. This is why this is simple, folks. Everything outside of a hospital bed or the hospital room, remember, which is A, is covered under B. A doctor visit, a specialist, surgeries, very important. In that example we talked about before, when somebody thought he was going to be covered on his health insurance plan, if you have a large surgery and you should have applied for Medicare, watch out, because as you said, you get spanked there. So Medicare Part B covers everything, but only covers 80% of everything after a $198 deductible. So that means that if you do not get a supplement, you're responsible for 20% of even a surgery. So even a couple $100,000 surgery mm-hmm. could cost you an arm and a leg if you don't have a supplement. Mm-hmm. So that's A, that's B, and your supplement becomes the gap filler, so to speak, of all the deductibles and all the possible deductibles that Part B has, which isn't much. It's only $198. And the other deductible is the Part A deductible. You'll probably have people say to you, Medicare Part C. Medicare Part C is just not like A or B. Medicare Part C is, remember we talked about Medicare Advantage? Well, George Bush, back in 2003, this is the son now, not the father. George Bush's financial advisors sat back and said, Mr. President, you want to put your trademark on something? Because every president tries to put their trademark on something. We know about Obama. We know about Kennedy with the going to the man on the moon and everything else that came with Kennedy with the Khrushchev and the Cuban Missile Crisis. So President Bush's, George Bush, the son, their financial advisors said to him and said, by the year 2026, get this, Carol, by the year 2026, we're going to have one third of our country's population is going to be 65 or older. Did you hear that? One third. So what happened was George Bush's financial advisors, they went to all the insurance companies and said out there, hey, listen, there's no way we're going to be able to afford Medicare Part B and all the expenses that come with it if we don't put something in place. So what a Medicare Advantage does, which is also Medicare Part C, as in cat, the government subsidizes most of that premium, and you could have a very, very inexpensive plan that you see on TV all the time. Mm-hmm. Joe Namath is on the radio TV all the time with this, but the Medicare Advantage plan is another option to that Medigap policy we talked about, but you got to be careful in the small print, because if you're hospitalized overnight, the Medicare Advantage plan, which is known as Medicare Part C, has about a $1,500 to $1,800 copay for a 5-day stay, and that's per admission. That's why people need to be educated on Medigap versus a Medicare Advantage plan. So Medicare Part C is a Medicare Advantage plan, and Medicare Part D, as in dog, is the prescription component of Medicare. So A is the hospital, B is everything else, C is an Advantage plan, and D is the prescription plan. How'd I do?
Wow. All right. All right. Now I'm more terrified than ever. So then there are. So what we're looking for then is now we have to look at private insurance, don't we?
Correct.
Okay. So now we need the private insurance, which would step up and fill in.
That 20%.
That 20%.
Yes. And so basically there's a multitude of carriers that are out there in the Philadelphia, New Jersey area. And basically what you do is you either go to my website, you can call my hotline. I have a hotline number people can call as well. And they can basically call me or find an agent that understands Medicare. It's very simple. And they will get you a Medigap policy. I urge people to look at that first, because think about this. Once you have a Medigap policy, what happens is you have a plan that's called Plan G, as in girl. Here comes some more letters at you. But now this is not like A, B, C, or D. These are now plan names. I don't know why they decided to use letters. They probably should have used numbers, which is something I'm proposing to Congress at a later date. But Medicare, Medigap Plan G, as in girl, is the most popular. And what that plan does is it sews up the Part A deductible, the $1,480. It sews up the 20% on the Part B, and it all you have is $198. So think about this, Laura. You know what your plan does right now where you work, but compare it to a plan like this. I can go to any doctor, any hospital in the country without a referral, because that's HMO versus PPO, a different show, and you can go and see that doctor, and you only have $198 exposure. That's it. Aside from medications, which again is a total different topic, Medicare Part D prescription plans is almost a show in itself that we can talk about on future shows. But that's really what you want to do. A private carrier will get you a Medigap policy, and that policy will cover everything after a $198 deductible. You can't go wrong. What's it cost? You're probably going to ask that. In Jersey, it costs between $140 to $150 for a female. For a male, it's going to be a little more expensive. In the Philadelphia tri-state area, the five counties, it's going to cost like $139 for a female. It's going to cost probably $155 for a male, and you'll sew up all of your exposure.
Now let's talk about the monthly cost of all this, though. So we got Medicare B has a price tag.
Yes.
And it starts $144 a month. But if you mess up and don't apply at the right time, you're saying 10%. And is that a flat 10%, or does it keep going up if you do not
10%
apply?
For every month you didn't apply. So you have to be very careful.
Oh, my goodness.
You have to be very careful.
So after 10 months, you're paying double.
You could pay double.
Oh.
So you have to be careful.
Can you pay more than double?
No, but you probably won't. You'll get to somebody. You'll get to somebody. Okay.
Okay.
And depending on your situation, it could be 10% per month, 10% for every month. It depends on how quickly you can pick up your Medicare Part B at open enrollment. That's another problem. The open enrollment, there's two different open enrollments. This is something else that's very, 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 very important. The open enrollment period for people that want to go from Medigap to Medicare Advantage is October 15th to December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. That's for anybody to change their drug plans. That's Medicare Part D, or pick up a Medicare Advantage plan if they don't want to pay for a Medigap anymore. But then there's another open enrollment, which is why people get confused. Let's say you missed your open enrollment and it's now in November. That's when you aged in. Here's the real problem. You now have to wait November, December, January, all the way through to the end of June, because even though you enroll, get this now, between January and March, what happens is it's not effective till the following July 1st. So that means people could go without insurance for 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 months.
Okay. All right. My eyes are rolling. We are actually running out of time, so let's just throw some stuff out. I'm just going to ask you questions that came up as you were talking. So say you are employed, and we're going to say you're employed by anonymous huge corporation, just to make it easy. And they have a health care plan, and you've always had that. You turn 65. You're still going to work for a while. Can you get that Plan G through your – I mean, do they offer it? Do most workplace insurance plans offer the plethora of policies that can help someone out?
Excellent question. If you're under 19, employers now can pay for Medicare Part B, Medicare Supplement. Keep that in mind, too. That was a law that was passed 5, 6 years ago. I wrote something called a skeleton brief. You may have heard of this. And basically, that was a bare bones approach. That's why I called it the skeleton brief, a bare bones approach to Medicare secondary payer. And I pleaded with Congress. I don't think they even saw the brief. But I pleaded with people, let employers pay for that, those expenses if you have employees that are under 19. Or you can set up what's called a group Medicare plan. You can do that. However, if you have more than 20, then you cannot set up an employer plan that pays for your active employees. You can only do it for your retirees. Okay. So a company like GE or a company like UPS, they, if we're allowed to mention them on the air, you can get a plan if you're a retiree. But if you're actively at work, your employer cannot pay for your Medicare Part B or the supplement.
Okay. Can the decisions that my spouse makes affect me personally, other than it coming out of a joint banking account, you know, if he's paying more than he should? Do you make decisions for a spouse by opting in or not doing it at the right time?
No, the spouse is definitely wants to be involved in the conversation, because remember, this happens a lot. I have a few people that are like ex-coaches of wrestling, and they taught. And they're 68, 69, 70 right now. But his younger spouse, who's in her late 50s or mid-50s, she still works for the school district. So if you're covered on your wife's plan and she's under 65, you don't have to apply for Medicare yourself, even if you're not working, because you're covered on your spouse's plan.
So is this an exception that you don't have to apply at your 65th birthday?
It's not an exception. It's just a rule. It's one of the rules that says that if you're covered on a group plan, whether it's yours or your spouse's, you do not have to apply for Medicare if the group has more than 20 employees.
More than 20 employees.
Yes.
Okay.
So it does. Your spouse's decisions do come into play here.
But what happens? We've only got like 1 minute left. But what happens if, God forbid, she drops dead and he no longer has that coverage and he's now 66 and it's November?
Okay. Great question.
66 and it is January 5th.
I've never been posed that question. That's a very impromptu question.
Well, we got 1 minute.
Oh, so real quick. So you go get that special form that we talked about, that you've been in a credible plan since you've been 65 and you have a life event and you're a death of a spouse or a marriage or a divorce. These are life events. So that will allow you to enroll anytime. Just get that special letter. It's called Employer Letter to Prove Credible Coverage.
Okay. You did it. Okay. We are officially out of time. Parting words, and I'm sure you've got them.
Medicare is a minefield. You have to be careful where you step. I have a lot of movie metaphors and a lot of artists that are in the music world. Josh Groban sings a song, "The Machine." Turn the light on, you will see things so much clearer.
I think I'm looking through mud right now. I am. You know what? I'm not as terrified as I was. You did manage to explain this and make me. You comforted me.
Well, you know me, so I'm not going to allow you to make the mistake when that day comes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And so there we go. And I got to say thanks to my guest, Rick Salofsky of Salofsky Financial Group. He's an author, Medicare Decoded, Shocking Facts to Help You Save Money and Get the Most from Medicare. You can get that at Amazon, of course. And he's the host of the Medicare Minefield Radio Show. For more information, SalofskyFG.com is his firm, SalofskyFG.com. You can go to MedicareDecoded.live. That's his website. And of course, the book is Medicare Decoded, available at Amazon. Don't forget Medicare.org and Social Security Agency and the My Social Security card. There are a lot of resources out there for you. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Philadelphia Focus.